listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics Post Game Live. I am one of your co-hosts for this evening, Nick Sesento, joined very shortly by my man, Bobby Manning, who I believe is on the line right now, waiting to set off this show, as the Boston Celtics add another win to their impressive season, topping the Denver Nuggets, getting some revenge for a loss taken on that rough road trip, West Coast road trip, topping the Denver Nuggets 108-95 behind an incredible offensive performance by Jason Tatum, 26 points on 10-for-19 shooting, 4-for-8 from 3-point, making amends for his poor shooting game a couple of nights ago in Miami. Jaylen Brown also contributing, 21 points on 8-for-15 shooting, 3-for-7 from behind the arc. And of course, can't forget the new and improved, upgraded point guard for the 2019-2020 season, Kemba Walker, filling out the what has become the three-headed monster for the Boston Celtics. 19 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 8 of 16 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the arc. Listen to those stats again. 26 for Jason Tatum on 10 of 19 shooting, 21 for Jaylen Brown on 8 of 15 shooting, 19 from Kemba Walker on 8 of 16 shooting. Notice something about those shooting stats. 10 of 19, 8 of 15, 8 of 16, all 50% or better. Boston Celtics once again winning 108-95 over the Denver Nuggets. And before we get into the analysis and before I bring in my man, the boss, Bobby Manning, just like to remind everybody that the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show is live, as it is after every show. And we'd like to invite everybody to call in, join the show, have your opinions heard, give us your take on the game. At the HelloFresh toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771, brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Get easy, seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80. And enter CLNS80, that's CLNS80, to get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, delivered right to your door. Don't have to go out as you would right now if you're on the East Coast, 10:45, looking for something to eat, maybe to the Stop and Shop or to wherever it is that you happen to live, maybe out to some fast food, McDonald's, go and get something nasty. You want to make some nice home-cooked meal with meals with top-notch ingredients, and you can do that with HelloFresh. Once again, HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter CLNS80 at checkout. And with that, I'm just going to go jump right in and bring my man Bobby Manning into the fray. Bobby, what's up, boss?
Been a while, man. We've been holding it down.
It's good to hear from you, my friend. Here.
Yeah, I came into this one a little nervous, Nick. I can't lie. They haven't played the Nuggets well in recent years. This is a team that spreads you out like crazy, lots of flashing guards. Jokic stands out at the three-point line as much as he's posting up guys down low. And, man, they have a ton of size. Hernan Gomez, Paul Millsap, right out of Syracuse, Jeremy Grant's been killing it this year. But once again, we see the Celtics adjust, adapt, and thrive late in this game, extending themselves to a double-digit lead again for the second straight game, over a team that's in the elite class of their conference. Miami just the other night, and now Denver, a team that destroyed the Celtics when they played them out in Denver. The Celtics came back late, almost took that game, stole that game, but tonight felt like the Celtics were in control for most of it. Now, I know Jokic was putting back shots around the rim. They were really controlling the rebounds and the loose balls around the net, and that kept Denver in it for a little while. But once the Celtics got their transition game going, piled up some stops, and got Brown, who started this game with three straight threes in the first 4 minutes, going the way he did against Miami when he had 30 points. I mean, it feels like him and Tatum are going to have 40 points every night combined. You throw Kemba's 20 in there. And this team that's thriving the way they are right now, 4 or 5 wins, is going to get Gordon Hayward back soon. So we're about a quarter of the way through the year, Nick. You know, you don't want to go out on a limb too much here. But we're starting to see who this team is. And against some of the best competition in the league, I know they haven't seen the Lakers yet. I know they lost to the Clippers. But this is looking like an NBA Finals level team as we hit the quarter way point of this year. I mean, they have depth. The bench is starting to come around. They had 26 points off the bench tonight. It's hard to see a weak link on this team. Even Enes Kanter is starting to play really well, and he was the guy lagging behind early this year. So I look up and down this team, and I don't see a lot of weak spots. They're great defensively. They're playing much better at the big man spot than anyone could have imagined this year. And when you just see them manhandle a team as good as Denver is, and they're undefeated at home, you know, Brad Stevens' game plan just seems so well set up for every single game. I don't know, Nick. I think this team is going to the finals this year. We've said it a lot of different years, but they have the good vibe around them. They absolutely have the skill set, and they're passing test after test. Now, the big one's coming up, Philadelphia. That matchup's tough for them. They're going to play them on December 12th, so that one's coming up in just 3 games. But right now, I feel really, really good about this team. I don't even think they have to make an addition. I think they're fine with what they have.
No, and I don't think so either. I forgot where I read it. Must have been somewhere on social media. For all the talk of the Celtics needing, or quote-unquote needing, I don't feel the Celtics need anything. Obviously, there's potential for upgrade with almost any roster, but I don't think the Celtics need it, nor given the chemistry that they've developed. You can see when they're out there on the court that they enjoy playing together. This is a whole new attitude from this team. Should they even be really looking to make any drastic changes? Now, I've said this on previous shows, if something falls into Danny Ainge's lap and it's a deal that you just can't pass up, you know, Danny Ainge, in Ainge we trust, just like for the Patriots and Belichick we trust. But I don't think this team needs anything. I don't think this team should even be looking to do anything. And for all the talk about the, like I said, quote-unquote, need for a big man, and I don't know where I read this, it was somewhere, that the Boston Celtics rank in the top 10, I believe, in defensive rebounds and definitely in blocked shots, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and if the post that I read.
I've never seen a Celtics team block shots the way this one does. I mean, Kemba blocked Millsap in the third quarter. He had 2 blocks in this game. Tice is among the elite shot blockers in the league. And then, you know, Rob Williams has had a 6-block game, and he's been one or 2 blocks a game himself. So, I mean, they have a little bit of everything on this team defensively. And, you know, the perimeter defense is great, too. You know, Tatum has been sensational in that aspect. I feel like Brown's been better. I mean, Nick, I feel like since the last time we talked, even, Brown has just taken it to a whole new level. I mean, Kelly Olynyk was at the Garden on Wednesday or whenever that game was, calling him one of the best two-way players in the league. And this is a guy who...
That's not a hot
people
take.
Weren't sure. People weren't sure he was worth the money when they re-signed him. And now I think he's already starting to play like a player who makes that kind of money.
Oh, yeah. There's two things that can happen when a player gets a contract. The the size of Jaylen Brown's or the way Jaylen Brown did. They can basically say, well, I've made it, and, you know, lay off the gas, or they can prove that they're worth that contract. And I think Jaylen Brown is proving he's worth every penny. And not only that, but, I mean, this is a guy who I think, I believe it was the same year that G League semi-star, I guess you could call him, G League, you know, a player, a Dragon Bender. There were a lot of players that wanted to draft Dragon Bender over Jaylen Brown. There are people that booed the drafting of Jaylen Brown. There are people that couldn't wait to trade Jaylen Brown or swap Jaylen Brown for somebody, anybody. They wanted to throw Jaylen Brown in there, anybody except, you know, Jason Tatum,
you know,
for a potential trade for Anthony Davis. A lot of people are eating crow.
It's fitting on a night like this, too, that Jamal Murray, who went in that same draft who the Celtics looked at, who a lot of people thought maybe should have went over Jaylen Brown, has 10 points tonight, and they held him down pretty well. You know, he infamously crapped on the Celtics last year at home, Kyrie threw the ball into the crowd, and tonight they contained him. You know, he didn't go off the same way he did last year. I think he had 47 in that game. Tonight he's got 10 on 5 of 14. Brown finishes with 21 on 8 of 15, and he had 30 just the other night against Miami. So he is just hitting his stride. Tatum, too. You know, I don't know how you feel about Tatum this year, Nick, because Kemba's obviously been killing it lately. I thought he flipped that Miami game upside down when they were struggling early. Brown's been phenomenal all year. You know, Tatum has nights like tonight, 10 of 19, 26, hitting his threes, getting to the free throw line a little bit, getting in the lane, making a few plays defensively. And then other nights, he's just way off. I mean, what did he have? He started like one of these games 0-13, I believe. And he's just been up and down like that with his shooting all year. How have you felt about his quarter point in the season?
I like Jason Tatum's game. I think he's improved, at least marginally so, on the defensive end. I like his attitude. I have noticed that he's, you know, when he starts to struggle, he ends up falling back on some of his, you know, old, you know, style play, some of the, you know, the long jumpers, you know, not attacking the basket as much as he could. I think he's more finesse than Jaylen Brown, who is, you know, kind of, I mean, for a guy who lost an inch, apparently, according to the updated NBA measurables listings. He went from 6'7 to 6'6. Maybe it was just the flat top trimming his hair. For a guy that, you know, lost an inch, he is a bulldog, and he attacks the basket. He's strong. Jason Tatum is a little bit more of a finesse player, a little bit more smooth. I remember when he first came into the league, I would say about 90% of our callers and 90% of the fans that I interacted with online and in person would say easily Jason Tatum was the better player. I think right now, Jaylen Brown, despite the fact that Jason Tatum had a better game tonight, I think Jaylen Brown right now is the better player. And in the words of Isaiah, who I see is on the switchboard right now, he should be. He has an extra year in the league, and he hasn't spent his entire career up to this point playing next to the massive, you know, shadow casting ego of the previous point guard, who Jason Tatum only played with, you know, only knew one point guard prior to this. Jaylen Brown started his career, I believe, with Isaiah, and now he's playing with Kemba, so he's able to, he's had an opportunity to play free where Jason Tatum hasn't. I think Jason Tatum will get there. I think he's, you know, he's obviously still developing, but I think right now you're seeing the difference between a player that's been in this league now in his 3.25 years versus a player who's been in the league for 2.25 years, and I think it's natural that Jaylen Brown would be that guy. And Jaylen Brown has a unique skill set, you know, a different skill set. I think, you know, the two-way aspect is really what I think distinguishes the two of them, aside from their play styles, of course, is really what I think edges Jaylen Brown out over Jason Tatum for me. But why even compare, you know, in that situation? Because these are the cornerstones of this franchise for years to come. If Danny Ainge can lock up Jason Tatum with an extension next year the way he locked up Jaylen Brown prior to this season, I mean, this team is going to be competitive for years to come. I mean, years to come. And you have Kemba Walker for another 3 more years after this one. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches, and it's incredible the way this team, when, you know, if one player isn't playing well, the other player is stepping up. The other night, Jason Tatum was shot horribly from the field. He shot especially horribly from the three-point line, and Jaylen Brown had a monster night. And despite all that, they both combined. Jaylen Brown had 31 points. Jason Tatum, despite his struggles from the field, had 19. They still combined for 50. Tonight they combined for, what, 47 points. Is that what it is? 47 points tonight. I mean,
yeah, 47.
47. Imagine them. Imagine these guys, like you just mentioned earlier in your opening comments. Imagine these guys, you know, going for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, scoring 45, 50 points every single night out. And if you listen to the ESPN broadcast, if you are, you know, from outside the New England area, the Massachusetts area, and you get the ESPN broadcast as opposed to the NBC Sports Boston, and you listen to it, they mentioned it themselves. The Boston Celtics will probably send two All-Stars, two representatives to the All-Star game, and it's possible they could send three. If you can imagine it, it's possible.
They probably could have had three if Hayward never went down, because he was playing at that level before his injury on November 9th, and he's about to miss that full month that everyone expected. And the good thing is he's back at practice. He's been shooting. He's in the flow of the competition there. He's just going to get used to the contact, the swelling that comes with playing with the left hand again. And then he'll be back before we know it. And I think he'll be back before Christmas is probably a good guess on that one. Well before the game against the Raptors that they're going to play in Toronto, which is looking like a huge game. Nick, they never beat Toronto up there. They have more tests to come against Philly, against the Raptors up north. You know, they have not passed every test that has yet to be thrown at them. They don't even play the Lakers until February, I think, or March. It's kind of crazy how long they wait to see LeBron this year. So there's still a lot this team has to get through. I think one of the big things is going to be, how do they fit Hayward back into this? Because we've had a lot of chats over the years about Marcus Smart, Nick. You know, I think the most famous one ever was the one you and Rubino there got into after the Rockets game 2 seasons ago. But, you know, it's funny, for all the fights we've had about him on here, I think everybody has reached a consensus now at this point in his career that he's helpful. He's a plus 11 in his return from injury tonight, 4 or 5 from the field, great 9 points. 2 assists, 2 rebounds, had a pretty good night for having a week off with the illness and injury the way he did. So I look at him, and he's been playing well with these other starters. I like having him out there with Kemba for defensive switching, all that kind of stuff. Do you think they're going to put Hayward right back into the starting lineup and put Smart back on the bench when he returns?
I think it would be a travesty if Gordon Hayward didn't eventually get back into that starting lineup. I don't think that you're paying him max money to have him sit on the bench, and I don't think he wants to sit on the bench. And considering the fact that I think he has a player option after this year, I think he would probably be alienated. And given the relationship between Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward, I think what's going to end up having to happen is just, you know, an adjustment of roles. And I think Gordon Hayward is the type of player. He's an intelligent player. He's, you know, he's not one of those guys. He's not saying he's not athletic, but he's not one of those guys that, you know, jumps out of the building and, you know, and relies on athleticism. I think Gordon Hayward, aside from, you know, his, and by no means was Al Horford really a banger in the paint. I mean, he got his rebounds. He did his, you know, his job, you know, down low, but you could tell that Al Horford in his later years, he was really pining to be a guy that, you know, could play more outside the paint, take a lot of those, you know, those three-point shots, those jump shots. I think Gordon Hayward is going to take that role that Al Horford had. And he was actually, from what I saw when he was playing prior to the hand injury, really was taking that role, like the secondary facilitator role of, you know, being able to pass, set players up. And because he's a threat, more so than Marcus Smart, and I mean, obviously he's nowhere near the defensive capacity of a Marcus Smart. He does have, you know, a far more developed offensive game. I think that's an understatement, and that's not a shot at Marcus Smart. I love the development of Marcus Smart's offensive game, and I think that's what's made him so good this year. Is that Gordon Hayward? He he has, you know, when he has the ball, the defense kind of, you know, sinks in on him. He has gravity, and when he has the ball, that allows him to then set up other players, because if he drives to the paint, he's often bigger than the player that's covering him. He drives to the paint, or he makes a move. The defense sinks in on him because he is, you know, he was an all-star prior to, you know, coming to Boston and suffering that injury in the first game he played in green. You know, he is a player that's capable of, you know, hurting you if you don't pay attention to him on offense, and that forces, you know, the defenses to pay attention to him and allows him to open up the offense for all these other players. And I think that helps not only guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. There is, of course, those minutes issues in having, you know, three wings, but they're all different. But it also helps Kemba Walker, because Kemba Walker doesn't have to be the, you know, sole facilitator and the sole scorer. He's obviously clearly not the sole scorer, and I don't think he even wants to be. He said it before this year, he doesn't want to be. I think Gordon Hayward is a player that it's really about attitude, and Gordon Hayward is one of those players that wants to integrate into this team, wants to be a part of this team, and I think he'll make the sacrifices and make the adjustments necessary. And I think Brad Stevens, being the coach that he is, and not to mention the history he's had coaching Gordon Hayward, if anybody can do it, Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens can do it. And I think that, you know, if Marcus Smart has to be, Marcus Smart has embraced the role of stretch six. That's what he calls himself, the stretch six. He's the first man off the bench, and he can guard pretty much every position on the court, minus a few. You know, I wouldn't try to have him guarding Joel Embiid, but he's done it before, and I think he's had at least a little bit of success Embiid from catching the ball too deep in the paint. Yeah, I think Marcus Smart goes back to the bench, and I think he's a dangerous weapon to have off the bench because he's a starting caliber player, and if you put him against, you know, bench players, he's just going to be that much better.
Yeah, and the bench has been playing so well. They seem to finally have some cohesion with each other out there. Semi Ojeleye hasn't played phenomenal, but his minutes have counted. He gets 28 in this one, and he's a plus 15. Doesn't hit a lot of shots. The three still looks like a little rocket flying at the front of the rim to me. He's been working. He has had games this year where he converts a few of them. He did have one tonight on four attempts. And I think it is a little bit of a shame that a guy who slashed and drove as much as he did in college isn't doing too much of that now. But he's a sound defender. And even the starters, Brown, Tatum, all those guys were talking after the Miami game where Brad pretty much drove Semi for two straight quarters between the second and the third to finally get the team playing at the intensity they needed. They've had some rough first quarters. In fact, I believe since mid-November, this might have changed over the last two games, but prior to the last two games, no team had been scoring fewer points in the first quarter per game than the Celtics. They were getting off to some really slow starts, and Semi has helped in that regard. He's communicating like crazy defensively. He's getting guys in the right spot. And we've always known him to be a great defender, going back to him being that, you know, quote-unquote Giannis stopper. He added some great moments early in his career against Giannis. It looked early this year and late last year like he was falling out of the fold here, so it's been great to see him finally get some minutes and make an impact on this team. And maybe he could be a guy who they get on a big bargain on that second contract, because once Hayward comes back, he's not going to find as many minutes, but they saw early this year that he can be a useful asset defensively. You know, probably never going to be a great scorer, but for a guy they pick late in the second round, I think Semi Ojeleye has really turned into a nice bench piece for them, along with Brad Wanamaker, who deserves so much credit for what he's doing this year. We've talked about him. He's gotten his due on this show over the last few weeks, and deservingly so, because I talked to him in New York a week ago. I mean, last year sucked for him. He was sitting behind Terry Rozier, who was not playing well at all and still getting all the backup point guard minutes. And, you know, now we're looking at what Wanamaker's doing this year and saying if he could have been leading that bench unit last year, maybe that team looks completely different. Probably not, but maybe just a little bit different.
Well, I would consider that a hot take. Nothing else you've said, even the Celtics going to the finals, I wouldn't consider a hot take. Changing the dynamic of last year.
I think it would have been a little bit of addition by subtraction given how bad Rozier was last year. I don't know. Kyrie had a big impact on how that team faltered at the end, but throughout the regular season, I think Rozier was just really hampering the team.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, I was a Rozier fan. I don't think he had a good season last season. We never got the scary Terry back that we saw from the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals runs. But I really honestly, you know, say this, the previous point guard who I'm just not even going to mention by name, I think that was just a shadow cast that really, you know, tainted the waters for the entire team. So how much did that, you know, I don't think Terry Rozier was immune to that either. How much did that, you know, affect Terry Rozier's play? And, you know, for Brad Wanamaker, yeah, sure, I think he probably would have given them something. I think Brad Wanamaker was, you know, not that his game is similar, but he plays a similar kind of role to maybe like the Shane Larkin type of role from the 2018, you know, referencing again the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals team. You know, Brad Wanamaker's, you know, he's really, you know, coming to his own now, and I know he's the oldest player on the team. He's 30 years old. He had a very solid career in Europe, but I mean, it just can't be understated for a guy that I think was. I mean, for all the movement in the restructuring of the roster, the restructuring, the retooling of this roster after the departure of the previous point guard, the loss of Al Horford, you know, all those things. Brad Wanamaker was really an afterthought, and you know, and then of course in the preseason there was the taco mania, and I'm still waiting to see Taco Fall get, you know, some of those 45 days.
Yeah, he's hurt again.
Down in Boston. You know, you mentioned the Philly game, and I think that, you know, I don't see the Celtics getting anything from Vincent Poirier. I have no reason to dislike Poirier, so I'm not, you know, I don't want to, you know, crap on him or nothing, but I just don't see, you know, I don't think he doesn't look like he's in very great shape. I don't think that he's somebody that gets on the court and really changes much. I think you would get better production sticking, you know, a 7 foot whatever, 7 foot six guy like Taco Fall, or 7 foot, what is he, 7 foot four, however tall he is, sticking a giant in there, because just by his sheer physical presence, I think he changes things more so than, you know, any other player. And if that's just a consequence of his size, giving him 5 minutes a game, I think, especially against a team like Philly that is so paint and basket oriented, I think, you know, I would prefer to have Taco Fall come in there and play, especially a team like Philly, because he just changes. If you can force Philly, and I think Philly and Milwaukee, obviously, and the Celtics have already beaten Milwaukee, not that that's anything, you know, that was early in the season. Milwaukee has since gone on a 13-game winning streak, but Philadelphia is the other, you know, main, and definitely, you know, in division, and it's a historic rivalry as well. You know, given the way Philadelphia plays, the size they have, the size advantage they have, I mean, you really can't depend on Daniel Tice to, you know, to go body up Joel Embiid. Ennis Kanter has the body and the size, but really isn't the defensive player, and Robert Williams just doesn't have the, you know, the awareness and the experience yet to do that. I think being able to throw in a guy like Taco Fall would really change some things, but, you know, that's getting into the weeds for some of the things. I think the key, and you mentioned it earlier, perimeter defense. I think that's why the Boston Celtics don't need a superstar center, because they have elite perimeter defense, and if you can stop players from penetrating, you don't need to have the best center to guard the rim, because other teams aren't getting to the paint on you. So, yeah, back to Brad Wanamaker, I love his hustle, and I love what the Boston Celtics are doing this year. I mean, there's just so much an exciting game. I may be all over the place, but, I mean, they're proving themselves. I'm excited about this team, and I'm happy to cover them this year, whereas last year was kind of like pulling teeth.
Oh, my God, it's fun to watch again. That's the biggest difference, and I always love watching the Celtics. I watched nearly all the games after I got back from Spain last year. You know, if you remember, you guys were holding it down for that first half. And I'd wake up in the morning, obviously it's 5 hours after this, I didn't get to watch many games. I'd just wake up in the morning, try to watch the highlights before I looked at the score, but sometimes I'd take a peek at the score, and I'd see they're losing to the Knicks, and then they're losing to the Hornets, and they're just losing to all these, you know, bottom-tier teams. And, you know, who are they playing next? They got the Cavaliers on Monday. You know, these are the kind of teams that they're just rolling through this year. And, you know, they're going to win against some elite opponents, as they have against the Bucks, as they have now against the Nuggets. And then they'll lose to the Nuggets other times, to the Clippers in that great game. Man, I wish we were on after that game, Nick. That was a phenomenal one, even though they lost.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they're going to tear through the Cavaliers on Monday, almost certainly. They'll be able to take care of the Pacers on Wednesday. The big test comes a week later, or the next night, on a back-to-back against the 76ers next week. You know, that's going to be a massive one for this team. I do want to, you know, we got any callers there, Nick? We'll go to the callers very, very shortly. But I do
want to go to...
Yeah, we'll get to them in just one second. But
we have
I do
Isaiah
wanna,
from Jersey.
All right, we'll get Isaiah in here in just a minute because I do want to get his thoughts on this game and get back to this game a little bit. But, you know, my big question for this team still, the one area where they're pretty weak, where they maybe could use some help, is rebounding. You know, I do think the Nuggets really held down that middle area of the floor, were able to keep this a close game because of the rebounding aspect. You know, Tice is a good rebounder. I think he can help them there. I think Tatum helps them out quite a bit coming in. And
well, it looks like Bobby Manning dropped. I'm sure he'll come back in just a couple of seconds. Sure he's aware that the call dropped. But while Bobby Manning is out, before we get to the HelloFresh call lines, 347-215-7771, just like to give a shout-out to one of our other sponsors, betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag is more than just an online betting platform. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering clients nothing but the best, from cutting-edge technology, enticing promotions, and the latest sports betting odds. Arguably their most popular and well-known service, their famous sportsbook, is where a lot of the magic happens. Here you will find live lines for all major sporting events, including NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, soccer, tennis, rugby, cricket, badminton, volleyball. What other sports can I name? I don't know. Field hockey? And so much more. So make sure to check out betonline.ag. And I'm sure if you sign up, try typing in CLNS. We'll ask Bobby Manning. Bobby Manning's back on the line. Bobby, what's the CLNS promotion for betonline.ag? I just did a read, and I don't know what...
It's CLNS 50.
CLNS 50, and you must get, what, 50% off or $50 or some kind of matching?
You're getting 50% of what you put in. So say you put in $2, they're going to give you $1 on top of that to bet.
Well, that's a pretty good deal. So you get an extra, you know what? So the more you put in, the more you get back from betonline.ag. So if you, as Bobby Manning said, you put in $2, you get a dollar back. If you put in $100, they'll match you with 50. Well, won't match you, but they'll hit you with 50. So you get 50% back. Whatever it is that you put in, you get 50% back from betonline.ag. That's free money, folks. So make sure to check out betonline.ag, one of, the premier online sportsbook for betting fans. So I just did the read. We got taken care of at betonline.ag. Isaiah in Jersey just dropped. Hopefully he'll call back. Isaiah, if you're out there listening, please call back on the HelloFresh toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. And, yeah, we were talking about rebounding.
Before I drop that, you know, what I want to say is I always thought rebounding was a little overrated. You know, obviously you do need to secure your stats with rebounds, and if you're getting pummeled on the offensive boards, then that can be a little demoralizing for your defense. But, you know, the Celtics have never, in all your years of doing this show, Nick, they've never been a great rebounding team. You know, they're either middle of the pack or, you know, toward the bottom of the league in that, and they've been a pretty good team. I don't think this team is that great either in that regard. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but when you play small, you're going to give up a little bit on the boards. And they are very small with Tice out there at center. I guess this brings us back to our center conversation. They have Cantor, who's a great rebounder, but, you know, he's probably best played in, I don't know, 10 to 15-minute stretches each game when they need a little bit of scoring because the defense just isn't there. But I don't know. Do you feel like this team can get by being a little weaker on the rebounding? They have in recent years, but that can hurt you in certain games, especially against the Philadelphia.
Well, if you think back, it would be more than half a decade, nearly a decade, a little bit less than a decade. If you look back maybe about, you know, 7 years and look back to the Doc Rivers days, Doc Rivers was a coach that didn't really believe in offensive rebounds. He just basically sent everybody back on defense and didn't believe in offensive rebounds. And what did the Boston Celtics do under Doc Rivers? They won a championship. So, yeah, I mean, let's see. I'm looking at the stats right now. In all honesty, looking at the stats, and I'm checking out, what is this, stats.nba.com. The Boston Celtics rank 11th in the league in total rebounds per game at 46.1, and they actually tie with the Toronto Raptors for 10th place. So, I mean, you know, 46.1 and only one-tenth of a rebound behind the next team up, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. So for all this talk about, you know, the lack of rebounding, as I mentioned previously in the show, the Boston Celtics are, you know, ranking the basically they're amongst the top 10 in the league in rebounds per game. Let me see. I think defensive rebounds I thought they did better on defensive rebounds, but I guess whoever I got that stat from was lying because they're not as good as I thought they were. They're not as good. They're ranked ninth in offensive rebounds, and again, tied with the eighth-place Orlando Magic, and that just shows you the Orlando Magic are eighth in offensive rebounding. Does that make them that much of a better team? No, but 10.7 offensive rebounds per game, that's good for tied for eighth with the Orlando Magic. So, you know, for all this talk about, you know, the centers and the lack of rebounding, here we have the Boston Celtics that ranked in the top 10 in total rebounds, the top 8 in offensive rebounds, and while they rank, I think, 14th is what it was, what I saw in defensive rebounds, you know, Is it really needed? I mean, do we really? It's not something that I think it necessitates a move or any type of change. I think the biggest issue, like you mentioned, is our number one center right now is Daniel Theis, and Daniel Theis is not a big man. I think he's about 6'9", and he doesn't have a big frame. He's a great help side shot blocker. I think he does a good job. I think the fact that he's a little bit, you know, smaller gives him a little bit more speed, and that's good. You know, this is a switch-oriented defense, and I think that's where you make up the difference is, you know, you may get fewer rebounds, or you may not have, you know, as many rebounds as, you know, teams would like. I know as fans would like. I know lots of people want to see the Celtics in, you know, the top, you know, three or the number one in every statistical category. It's not going to happen. But the way the Celtics play defense, that switch defense where, you know, all five players can basically switch off and you don't really lose much. Of course, you're going to have some more or less advantageous matchups when you switch off on players like that. But, you know, I don't think being ranked, you know, in the top, you know, 8 in total rebounds, considering the fact they're tied with, you know, the couple of teams above them in total rebounds per game, I don't think that's bad. I mean, it may seem like it. It may seem like they're getting out-rebounded. It may seem like this is happening. But when you play defense the way the Celtics do, I haven't seen the defensive numbers. I'd have to go further on into this, into the stats.nba.com to check out the defensive numbers. But when you look at all of, you know, everything taken in total, rebounding is only one piece of the pie, and I think you can give up a little of that when you get so much more from the other players, and when you're so airtight in other areas, and when you have so many other weapons in other areas. There's weapons on offense, and we've seen that tonight in the past couple of games. I mean, between Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I mean, any of those guys can drop, you know, 30 on you on any given night, and the defense that they have and the fact that they're, you know, when have we had a Boston Celtics team that have blocked this many shots? We talked about that earlier in the show. The rebounding, I'll take, you know, 10th place or 9th place in, you know, total rebounds, you know, if we get what we get, you know, in the rest of the total package of this Boston Celtics team. So, I'm not really there's no alarm to be sounded in terms of rebounding, in my opinion. Maybe you have a different opinion about that, but I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The Boston Celtics are playing elite basketball, and they're beating elite teams. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks already this season. I believe they beat the Toronto Raptors this season. You know, after that incredible game by both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown against the Knicks, combining for 58 points against the Knicks, the number one thing I heard from detractors reading online in social media, well, can they do it against, you know, legitimate teams? Well, yeah, they just did it against the Miami Heat, who were, I believe, the number two team in the East at that point, and they did it in the game that basically gave the Celtics leapfrogged the Heat to put themselves in the number two spot. They did it by combining for 40 in that game, and they did it again tonight against the Denver Nuggets, who are another elite team and a Western Conference team at that, combining for what I don't have their this game stats tonight, but you know, combining for significant numbers tonight. What did they do? 47 points tonight. So I mean, you know, I don't know what, you know, what more people can, you know, they can't be perfect in every aspect. And
yeah,
I think part of what makes them so good in their switchability is one of the reasons why they may not rebound quite as much as some fans may want them to. But, you know, would you rather have a big lumbering, you know, slow guy like, you know, Moose Monroe out there to grab you a bunch of rebounds, because that's what Moose Monroe did. But, you know, could he switch on defense? No, he wasn't fast enough to do that. So you give up some things to have, you know, to be better at others. And I think that's the trade-off that Brad Stevens has repeatedly made in his NBA career, a switchable defense. And with that comes, you know, a little bit smaller lineups, because you got, you know, that's just, you know, big lumbering guys aren't able to switch the way that, you know, a guy like Daniel Tice does. And that means you give up a couple of rebounds. But in the end, the final product, as we've seen, is impressive elite basketball, and it's fun to watch, and we're seeing it right now with the Boston Celtics. And like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think they look like as much of a finals contender as any team in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always gone back and forth on that about, do you need to be a great rebounding team to win? I think it seals up your defense ultimately if you're able to stop possessions the fall. Because oftentimes if the other team gets an offensive rebound, they're putting it right up and in. And Denver was able to do that early in this game with 12 offensive rebounds in it. You know, total rebounds, I don't really lean on that as much, because I don't think about offensive rebounds either, Nick. It's nice when Kanter goes out there and gets a few, and they get a little charge from him scoring 4 points over a few minutes because he's right in there on the offensive boards. It's almost refreshing to see, too, because like you said, Doc never made them do it. The early Brad Stevens guy teams never had the skill set to do it. So to see a guy who maybe does it better than anyone in the NBA and Kanter go out there and do that on many different nights is really cool, because you don't see it across the NBA too often, guys chasing offensive rebounds. You know, I look at the defensive rebounding percentage, which is, you know, the amount of stops that you complete with a rebound. So you finish the stop there, you don't give up a second chance. You know, there's not many good teams at the bottom. You know, the Celtics are down there. They're one of the elite teams in the league, 23rd at 71%. The Raptors are way down there at 69%, 29th. Then it's just a bunch of other bad teams around them. Now, you have an elite team like the Lakers at 19th, who isn't that much higher than the Celtics. And, you know, you have the Rockets in the middle of the league. The top three are Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Orlando. So, you know, pretty good teams aside from Orlando. The Heat are up there, too. It's all about, you know, what you can trade off to gain additional rebounding help. And maybe you just do it internally by switching up lineups a little bit. I know Brad was testing two big lineups against the Heat. Maybe you throw Tice out there with another big like Robert Williams and try that out with a wing. You know, they love playing their three wing sets, but, you know, in certain matchups, especially against Philadelphia, I can't wait to see that one on Thursday. That rebounding disadvantage they have might hurt them if it's in a close game. Luckily, though, Nick, they're so good at offense. They're so good overall at defense that they build such large advantages in these games that a couple rebounds, second chance points, don't end up hurting them in the end. So I guess the way you know, negate that weakness is by just being an all-around better team everywhere else. And that's what the Celtics have done many seasons under Brad and this season as well. So, you know, I'm not going to push for them to go out there and get a rebounding specialist, because I don't even think that guy exists in this league. Maybe Andre Drummond, but that guy's so expensive, you don't want to go get a guy like that anyway. So they're probably just going to have to deal with this as a weakness that they have, and hopefully they don't go up against a Philadelphia in the playoffs where that could become an issue. Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that matchup, Nick, just because the Celtics lost and struggled so much against them on opening night. You know, they've struggled a little bit since we've last seen them. They're 15-7, so a couple games behind the Celtics. Al Horford hasn't been at his best this year, And, you know, we saw Embiid go for 0 of 11 a couple nights ago against the Raptors. So they've had their issues. They're not a great offensive team. But, you know, they scare me because they are huge and they are sensational defensively. I mean, they're one of the best defensive groups I've ever seen in terms of their switchability and their rebounding and their size. You know, they have so many different guys who can go in and block shots and guard on the perimeter.
Yep. That kid they got from Miami, his name keeps slipping me because I know he's still a rising, you know, a rising talent in the NBA. But that kid they got from Miami in the Jimmy Butler deal, he's better than I thought he would be. Who's that?
Jason Richardson, I think, or something that begins with a J, yeah.
Yeah, Richardson. Yeah, he adds length. He, you know, he's a problem on, you know, he's another, you know, defensive wing who can also, you know, score. I think the issue with Philadelphia is, you know, less worrying about how the Boston Celtics can play Philadelphia's game because they're not. There's no way. I mean, there's just no way they're going to outsize Philadelphia. There's no way they're, you know, really. I mean, going to outmuscle Philadelphia. You know, in many categories. But if it's not about trying to beat Philadelphia at their game, it's about forcing Philadelphia to play the Boston Celtics game, and that means forcing them to become a jump shooting team. And I don't, you know, and that's where the elite perimeter defense, that's where the Marcus Smarts come in, that's where the improved Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown is a better player now than he was on opening night. And I think all things, you know, said, and I hate to be that guy that, you know, brings this up, I think that Philadelphia game on opening night was probably not the best officiated game. I don't think the Clippers loss was the best officiated game. I think there were a lot of, you know, calls that went in other directions that if, you know, those calls didn't go that direction, we might be talking, you know, a little bit different, you know, about those two games. I think if the Celtics can, you know, stick to their guns and they can, you know, force the Philadelphia 76ers into playing a game they don't want to play, which is a, you know, jump shooting game, a game that's, you know, out of the paint. And that's why I bring up, you know, possibly, you know, call up Taco for, you know, from Miami and just give him, you know, 5-8 minutes in that game. I'm serious. Sticking a 7-foot, I think he's 7'6", sticking a 7'4", 7'6" guy, you know, that can stand there. He's not, you know, Manute Bol. He has size. He has girth. I mean, he's going to change a lot of guys' minds from trying to get into the paint, including Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? I'm not saying run him for, you know, extended periods of time. I'm saying if you find yourself getting smashed on the boards and you find yourself getting, you know, banged on by, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and whoever else, you know, for, you know, a couple of quarters, you know, throw in a guy like Taco for a couple of minutes, and he has the ability to be impactful in the game, despite the fact that he doesn't have very much experience and he's still, you know, a fairly raw product when it comes to, you know, NBA talent. Just his sheer physical, you know what I'm saying, measurables could make him an X factor. I know you remember the Milwaukee series a couple of years back where I called Semi Ojeleye as the X factor in guarding Giannis. I really honestly do believe that. I think that, you know, just, you know, send Poirier up to Maine and send Taco down for that game next Thursday against Philadelphia and just see what happens. I think it's worth, you know, it's worth an experiment. If it doesn't work, I mean, what are you losing by not having Vincent Poirier on the bench? I mean, you don't lose anything.
Yeah.
You just go back to the same strategy, you know?
That's the tricky thing about that is that they have three centers who are playing really well. It'd be different, I think, if Williams and Cantor and Tice weren't playing well, that you'd maybe give that a try out of desperation. But, you know, I think they just don't want to put a lot of pressure on Paul. I mean, he's a guy who needs to work on a lot right now, and he does have that sheer physicality that you talk about, and I'm really excited about him if he's able to stick around the Celtics organization for a couple of years to be a guy that teams just don't really have an answer for. But, you know, you got to be able to rotate defensively. You got to be able to get out on shooters. There's just a lot of, you know, very small things that Taco has to work on. You know, I'm not saying he sucks. There's some people out here that don't even think he's an NBA player. You know, that's not where I am. But there's little, you know, minuscule things that add up over the course of a game. Even if you throw him out there for 5 minutes, know, if he makes 2-3 mistakes, that could swing a game in a negative direction. And he hasn't been playing at an NBA pace all year. You know, he's been playing up in Maine, which is a completely different game. It'd be a lot to throw him into a game of that level. Now, if you've been calling for it all year, Nick, I'm sure you're going to keep calling for it. If we see Taco anytime this year for 5-6 minutes, go out there and make a big impact in the, you know, not garbage time, in the real swing of the game, we're talking about Bet Online here. I'll send you $5 down to Tampa if Taco gets into a game and makes a big impact this year. I just don't see it next. So, you know, if you're right, if you see this happening by the end of the year, and it does happen, you know, I'll reward you kindly for it, because I don't see it. And I'm not rooting against him. I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I think he's handled all this fanfare that he's gotten great. And, you know, I'm excited to even go up to Maine and see him for a game, but I just don't see it this year. I think there's too many guys ahead of him. I do agree, though. Why isn't Poirier in Maine? They sent him up there for like a day the other day, finally. But he hasn't even come close to stepping on the court. I love his style. If you got Instagram, Nick, you definitely got to follow him there. I loved watching him in the World Cup, but he doesn't seem like he has any part of this team either.
No, he's nothing. And, you know, I won't turn down $5. I never turn down money. But you know, it's an idea. I think, it's worth a shot. You know, he has – He's on a two-way contract. He has, you know, 45 days. I think it's not a two-way contract. It's a different type of contract. But he's allowed, you know, 45 days.
It's a two-way,
with the Boston Celtics. Yeah, I think it's worth the shot. But if not that, I think against Philadelphia, I think a lineup in which you have maybe Daniel Tice and Rob Williams on the floor at the same time against a team like Philadelphia, just to, you know, to even out the size. Because Rob Williams is, you know, again, he's also raw, and he also has to, you know, work on a few, you know, aspects of his game.
Yeah,
but he's deceptively good at staying on the hip of players when he switches out on players on the perimeter. And he's also a fairly good passer. So I think, you know, having his talents out there with maybe Daniel Tice, who are both, you know, solid shot blockers, I think, you know, and they're both, you know, reasonable rebounders. I think having, you know, in defensive players, I would say maybe, you know, a combination of Tyson Cantor or Rob Williams and Cantor, but Cantor just defensively, aside from being a big guy, I don't think that he's, you know, that guy to do that with. But I do like Cantor. I like the size of Cantor. That's one of the only other things I wanted to mention was, you know, there's a lot of thick bodies. We were talking about Semi Ojeleye earlier. There's a lot of thick bodies on this Boston Celtics team. And his Cantor is a thick guy. He's a big guy.
Semi
Ojeleye, a big guy. Grant Williams, I know that he's more of a intangible guy. Doesn't show up in the stat sheet all that frequently, but he's a wide body guy. He's a muscular guy. I think the Boston Celtics have the muscle, so to speak, you know, to contend there. Do they have the size and the length? No, because Grant Williams isn't really all that tall. Enes Kanter isn't a defensive player, and Semi Ojeleye, you know, doesn't, you know, have the offensive acumen yet. Like you said, is his shot? He's solid defensively, but he's not a 3-and-D guy because that 3-point shot, like you said, still just looks like a rocket heading for the front of the rim. But I think Brad Stevens, he's good at using the versatility of his players, the versatility of the team, and I think if you were to throw out some of those players out there, I think, and then you have the X factor, Marcus Smart. He is absolutely, you know, one of those guys that, you know, he can get under the skin of a Joel Embiid. Do I want him guiding Joel Embiid for more than a few possessions a game? Absolutely not. But I think he's somebody that can go out there and, you know, throw some physicality at a very physical team like the Philadelphia 76ers. So I think they have the tools. It's just a matter of finding out, you know, how to the best combination of those tools and how to force Philadelphia out of their comfort zone and into a jump shooting game and away from, you know, these, you know, just you know, untouched, you know, runs to the rim. I mean, that's where they like to play. They like to play in the paint. They like to play fast. When Ben Simmons is on the break, he can just go coast. He can take it coast to coast. You got to force. It's not about playing Philadelphia's game. It's about forcing Philadelphia to play the Celtics game. And Brad, that's where Brad Stevens comes in, and Brad Stevens, game plan. And I think they can do it. I think they have the tools to do it. I think the development and the emergence of Jaylen Brown also is going to play a major, significant aspect in that matchup. So I personally like the Boston Celtics team. I like their weapons better than I like the Philadelphia 76ers weapons because they're more versatile. They're spread out across, a broader swath of, skill sets, whereas you have the Philadelphia 76ers where, sure, Ben Simmons is not the same player as, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid can actually hit a three-pointer, but I mean they're both players that like to play at the rim. And then you have Al Horford. He's a jump shooting big now, and I mean he's not having the best of his the best season of his career by any stretch. So again, it's a matter of using those tools, and I think Brad Stevens has the coaching acumen to do it, and he has the tools to do it. He's got to force Philly out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, it's been great to see Brad back in the driver's seat this year. He didn't have as much control as he usually had last year with Kyrie, who wanted in his hands a lot of the time, who wanted to be freestyling a little bit out there. Game plans went out the window. That's one thing Terry Rozier talked about, too, is that they'd have an idea of what they were doing going in, and it just changed. I think that is where you look to Kyrie and say, what the heck were you doing last year?
Yep.
I will say this on Taco before we go. We're wrapping up the show here tonight. Great win for the Celtics. Again, got to harp on that, is that this was just a massive one for them against a very great opponent. Last year, Rob Williams, this time, 2 points a game, just 32 games, no real impact on the team whatsoever. He was back and forth between Maine. They had Horford, they had Baines, they had other guys who just buried him. And he does his year of development. And this is a guy who came in with an immense amount of athleticism, talent, all that kind of stuff. Taco, maybe a little bit more raw than him. But I don't know, maybe Taco spends a whole year up there, gets some of the development that Rob did, and maybe pops into a game or two late in the year if the team gets to a place where the last few don't matter. I think maybe he could make that leap that Rob did this year. I came into this year, Nick, saying I have no clue what to expect from Rob Williams. If he came out, he looked so bad over the summer, he looked so bad last year, that if he wasn't in the rotation again, I wouldn't have been stunned. But he's come out here and blocked shots. His plus minus is immensely positive, even though he's playing with the bench unit. He's a plus 26, according to Basketball Reference. And he's just been so immensely impactful on this team. He has his moments where he's doing crazy things and he's out of control out there. But overall, he's been so sound, so great at protecting the rim. He's been the most pleasant surprise on this team. And I got to give him a shout-out, too. There's lots of guys who deserve credit up and down this team. And he didn't play a big impact on this game in particular. But I do still have to harp on how big of a leap that he's made. It's just been awesome to see. And he should be another guy. I don't know if they'll have the money to pay him if he does end up rising to a high level over the next few years. But it's great that they're really thriving off homegrown talent between Tatum, Brown, and now him. Kemba's brought it all together at the point guard spot. I don't think this team's nearly as good without Kemba this year, but I think they've put themselves in a nice position with some good drafts to be talented for years and years to come, which is great because after last year with all the guys poised to leave, Morris, Kyrie, Horford, it wasn't looking so certain. And even Brown and Tatum had their struggles last year, Brown especially. Didn't look like the outlook was as positive as it was going into that year. So it's just refreshing to have this team back, Nick. I hope that people are enjoying these shows. Don't want to overlook Cleveland and Indiana, who are coming up next. We'll have post-game shows for those ones as well. And then we're on to Philadelphia on Thursday. So it's a big week coming up. It's my last week at college, Nick. So I'm going to be graduating after this week. This is going to be my last one here. I think we started these shows. Yeah, we started these
Bobby
shows
Manning
right when I got into college.
Graduating.
Yes.
There you
right.
go. Syracuse, man. That's no
circle.
Small feat, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, and we started these right when I was getting started out here. I remember going up to the dorm room, or not the dorm rooms, the study halls to go get on the Wi-Fi and watch the game on the big screen and then hop on the microphone after the game. You know, now I got an apartment where I can do these rather than the dorm room. So it's just been great doing these with you, Nick, and hopefully we'll be doing them for many years to come.
Likewise, Bobby. We always appreciate everything that you do. I know that it's tough juggling. I've been there myself. I've been in college. You know, it's tough juggling all those responsibilities of classes, of midterms, of finals, of essays, of all those things. And then on top of that, making sure that there's always a host after every single game, and you do an excellent job of that. And I know that all of the hosts that you have, you know, working for you and working with you here at CLNS Media, we all appreciate everything that you do. And huge congratulations. It's like I said, it's no small thing. It's Syracuse is a prestigious university. Huge congratulations to you for getting it done. That's a big thing, and I know that you'll be successful. And I would imagine you must be majoring in some type of communications. I mean, you're good at it. That's
journalism.
What you seem to be doing. So journalism, there you go. So I expect to see you working for the Globe or something, in the coming years, and maybe in the next, couple of months after you graduate, I would expect to see, you doing big things. So don't forget us little folks when you get up there. I was once the managing editor of my college student newspaper. So don't forget me if you ever get up there somewhere. I'm still here and I'm willing to work. You know that.
And I'll be staying close with CLNS. The growth here has been amazing, too. And got to give a shout-out to Nick, Nick Gelso, who used to be on these airways more often, and some of the people who moved on from the show. Because, a lot of people forget, some of our new listeners, that this was like the flagship program that started CLNS Media 10 years ago. We're celebrating 10 seasons on this show. And everything else, whether it's Jeff Goodman's podcast or Bob Ryan's podcast, those were all just offshoots of what got started here. So we've kept it going. We've had new people come and go, but every year it's a constant. Every night after the Celtics play, we're here talking for an hour at 347-215-7771, as we will be on Monday after the Celtics play the Cavaliers at 7:30 at home. A couple more home games coming up, so we'll be staying on these nice normal hours, the 1 a.m. shows. And Nick, I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And once again, the Boston Celtics defeating the Denver Nuggets 108-95. Catches again on Monday as the Boston Celtics take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And before I go, just a quick shout-out to my team, the St. Joseph Catholic School Eagles. Made the playoffs, third seed, playing a week from Monday, I believe. Big shout-out to my team. And with that, have a good evening, everyone.
One, two, two. One, two.
This is Delonte West, and you're listening to CLNS Radio.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.